This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I'm really happy to see you. Okay, good. I'm really happy to see you all. And I look forward to hearing your poems of your own or poems you brought in.
Are you waiting for one of us to share a poem, Paula?
I think someone's at the microphone right now. Are you ready to read your poem?
Not yet. It's Todd. There's another.
Hello, friends. Sorry, Paula. It's not one of mine, but you'll like it. This is from 100 More Poems from the Japanese, translated by Kenneth Rexroth. You probably know this.
Nice.
I have two, because one is very serious. So I got to lighten it after that.
Yeah, me too.
From the beginning, I knew meeting could only end in parting. Yet I ignored the coming dawn, and I gave myself to you. And here's the second one. Better get drunk and cry than show off your learning in public.
I just read that. This happens to me when I come here. It's like, we're all like connected. I just read those to myself a couple of days ago. It happens.
Connected. Thank you.
Yeah. I was trying to find scream singing, but I couldn't find it. If I had it, I would read it again. I read that in a group with Pamela and Carolyn.
Who's next? You want to go?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to go. Come up. Come up.
Okay. Go up there.
Yeah.
Those old bones gone.
I know.
Get back in my food. Hey, Paula. I'm Michael Schnee. I'm a resident.
Hello, here. Michael.
Okay. This is a poem I wrote for my mother after she died. I did her memorial. And I haven't looked at it. And I've been thinking about her birthday. Wasn't too long ago. Died a couple of years ago, so it's called But a Moment. We are born and have but a moment, the spirit bright and burning across the sky. So short, so short, so short to reach the other shore. The blink of an eye and gone. Nothing is taken but what is left behind. If fortunate, children and children's children, a lifetime of love, sweat, and tears, loving and being loved, passions and dreams. Sacrifices made, dreams thwarted. The struggle to keep the light, the children raised, the oh so imperfect love given. The hopes failed, but born again. Ceaselessly as the waves, the mother's love is born again. Out of disappointment, hope, the lessons imparted consciously and unconsciously. The life given, and the children go, and back to the light, the endless light.
Beautiful. Of course. Thank
This is Catherine. So I have a poem called Storage from Mary Oliver. When I moved from one house to another, there were many things I had no room. What does one do? I rented a storage space and filled it in. Years passed. Occasionally, I went there and looked in, but nothing happened. Not a single tingle of the heart. As I grew older, the things I cared about grew fewer, but were more important. So one day, I undid the lock and called the trashman. Took everything. I felt like the little donkey when his burden is finally lifted. Things, burn them, make a beautiful fire. Make room in your heart for love, for the trees, for the birds who own nothing, the reason they can fly.
Mm. Nice, Kat.
Okay. Let me try.
Could you read that one more time closer to the mic so that we can hear it, the people out here?
She was just explaining about the poem.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I found it a documentary, and I was trying to find a translation online, but there's nothing like that. So I adjusted a little bit by myself. Mm-hmm. And now here's the poem. So no stars, so no the dark cloud. No dreams, so blowing the long night. Three or five steps in the court, thousands of business in the world. The wind and the rain are old in the mountains, and the gods are light in the temples. Only here is refreshing. All songs can be presumptuous.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Rosie, are you going to read one of your poems or shall I?
Oh, I will. I'd be happy to. Do you want me to go next or there's somebody coming
sure,
up?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We'll alternate.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sure. Paula keeps wanting me to read this poem. and I'm very happy to. It's from this second book of mine called Time and Peonies. This is one that Garrison Keillor liked and read on Writer's Almanac. He's read a bunch of Paula's, Barbara's poems too. Mm-hmm. So here it comes. In spring, I'm out with a wheelbarrow mixing mulch. A mockingbird trills in the pine. Then from higher, a buzz. And through patches of blue, as the fog burns off, a small plane pulls a banner. Red letters I can't read, but I do see over the fence a man in a sky blue shirt walking his dog to the beach. He says he missed it. We'll keep an eye out. Four barrows of mulch around the blueberry bushes. I'm pulling off gloves and he's back, beaming. It says, I love you, Martha. Are you Martha?
Didn't hear the last line. Read the last line.
Are you
Are
Martha?
You Martha, yes.
Martha. This is one of those, this is one of those poems that, you know, it just happens to you when you're kind of, you know, like, oh, and then I start scribbling.
Hey, Judy. Do you have a poem?
I do. This is a poem by Stephanie June Sorrell, who
who was born in 1956. I am writing to you, my pen dipped in the pine scent of this afternoon, so that you can breathe the words in and find the image I have for you in my heart. The letters swim in the Adriatic turquoise and clear midsummer skies. There are islands between the paragraphs, islands of green trees frothing out from bleached rock. Further still await the satin mountains. Feel the caress of their mystical invitation. I am writing to you while fish leap between the commas and full stops, iridescent and curved like miniature sunbeams. I hold a stone, a warm pulse in my hand that contains the sun. It is time itself, your time, my time. I parcel it to you, inscribed with memories that flow into deeper hues with each breath.
Should I call on Barbara Blue?
Okay. Well, I have a poem to read that was inspired by a visit to Paula, so it seems appropriate. And Paula, near Paula's, where she lives, is a bridge that has all this poetry cut out. It's in stenciled in metal. So we call it the Poetry Bridge. So this is on the Poetry Bridge. And there's a little quote from one of the beautiful poems there. With beauty before me, I walk. With beauty behind me, I walk. From a Navajo prayer. Steady traffic on the highway below as we pause midway across the footbridge to read the words of poets stenciled on the metal signs. The air is warm, and looking down, there's a tangle of periwinkle and bougainvillea on the steep banks, ending only at the asphalt. I remember this now from my cold room in the north, as if we'd been suspended there in that moment over the rushing cars, the cloudless sky above us, the bridge lined with poetry. You ahead, your back to me, one foot raised in the act of walking. You didn't believe it when I told you. The psychic said in another life you'd been my son, who disappeared at sea. And though there'd been no word, I knew you wouldn't ever come back. But remembering your long strides ahead of me, it makes sense. And I hurry to catch up as you reach the other side, where we will leave the poetry behind and shop for dinner. All this beauty before and behind us.
Thank you, Barbara. It never seemed to me yet that I haven't turned into your son yet. It might be your next life.
It made a kind of sense.
Kind of sense, yeah. Oh, I'm going to read the polar bear one. Oh, do I have it? I think I do. Do you happen to have it, Rosie? Did I send it into the group or not?
I happen to have what?
The poetry plunge. I mean, the polar bear plunge. And you just sent it to Joe. No?
We sent it, Paula, with the entire last section of your manuscript for the book.
But we have it.
Okay.
We have it, okay. Yeah.
I have it, yeah. Sorry, somebody else can read them.
You just emailed it to me, Paula, this morning.
I know. So I emailed it so you can read it. There, that's what I was asking for.
Look in your emails. Look in your sent emails.
I don't want to do it now. Oh, do you have it in front of you?
Do you like me to read it? Or?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I'll read it. I have to get my iPhone, though, because I can't do it from the... Here we go. Okay, this is Paula's. Polar bear plunge coming right up. Going to plunge right into it. Okay, tap to download. Downloading. Here it comes. It's almost here. Thanks to these little miracles that didn't exist when we were kids. They're kind of miracles anyway. Okay, polar bear plunge. He loves to exhale a long chain of bubbles. Shove off with the soles of his feet and glide. Long sun-colored fur billowing like kelp. Mm-hmm. He loves the absence of bear weight, land weight, and he can't be serious in water. A slow motion tumble with his brother, their legs splayed, back feet bobbing. Two black noses break through the surface. Their heads look smaller to us out of water. A cheering crowd in a dim room with a window into the tank. Barbara, that's this Barbara right here, has a long-lensed camera in front of her face. Snapping quickly like a child with a new point and shoot. But no, children at the zoo are often tense, overtired, excitement plummeting to greed. And cameras burden them. I've seen a boy wait, quiet and too still in the same place, no bear in sight. When he comes for that carrot, I'm going to get him. That's in italics. Diligence deserves rewarding, but too long coming, it's seldom sweet. Barbara's on the trail of bubbles now. She leans in, presses her camera to the glass. The picture will never come out. Too close, I think.
Did it ever come out, Barbara?
What's that?
Did your picture come out?
Probably not. I mean,
yeah, probably not.
but you're right about that.
but you caught it. But you caught
it in your words. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. In the poem, Paul. Yeah. So what about the picture? The poem's going to be in the book. Hey, what about the newest guest here who came? Who's here from Mountain View, this young beauty in front of us. Paul, did you bring one?
To be called young, thank you.
Sorry, Paul.
I will carry that with me all day. I will share, I don't know if the place will be, I do have a poem that I wrote. I think a gentleman read a poem about for in memory of his mother. And I don't, you know, this is, I'll just, I was very close to my mother and it was very hard when I lost her. So when I saw your prompt, I used to think the grief was always with me. And I think it's really my mother is always with me. Close. This one is slightly an angry poem. It's called Motherless. And it's a little, not too long, but page and a half, two pages. So if it's too long, just feel free to pause. Tell me to stop. Motherless. My biggest fear is that we burned you alive. and the heart they handed me, tied in a muslin, was still beating. I can't fathom what it means, you gone. For you to be gone, I have to be gone. It is different to be with the dead than the dying. Did you know? I was the one who pulled out scissors to chop off your clothes and the sticky smell of your death. I took pictures wearing a sheer kurta. I can't trust memory. It keeps deceiving. Tasteless, the relative said. This is a cremation. But I was too vulgar to be comforted. Two, I can't seem to throw anything of yours away. Rags, broken necklace clasps, handwritten grocery lists, saris fraying at folds. My friend says artists manufacture drama to find meaning in the minutest of experiences. Why do people say callous things when you lose someone? Or do they always? Three, we have new names. Papa is a widower. I am a motherless child. You, Ma, are simply gone, and I'm not allowed to call you a traitor. Four, it is the smell of you, earth after rain, spicy, sweet incense, wet flour and cumin crusting on hands from making rotis, and that steady voice, beta, bahut der ho gayi, ab kuch karo, do something, and I don't, again, and again, and again. Sorry, I don't have a funny poem after that.
No. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Touching.
I have one that I finally turned up that I thought I'd lost twice, but I don't want to interrupt anybody else. I have it in the couch, but I'm not going to go look at it right now. One.
Can I go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Can I go?
Yes, Jeff.
Let's see. I wrote this in the fall of 2013, so 10 years ago. And I preface it with season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, which comes from Keats' Ode to Autumn. It's a fall morning above Santa Cruz, sitting on the edge of the ridge on the occasion of my birthday. And it was early. Now, when all around is brown and dry, coyote bush is green, thrusting out tiny paintbrush flowers, creamy white. Orb and sheet webs hang in the creamy mist of sunrise. Infiltrations of soft, twittering bush tits prey upon yet tinier predators. That twanging jaw harp is a scrub jay. Just the other day, I linked the sound and the bird. Another strand of the web that knits this life's experiences from many into one. The air is mild. The rentit's call is like a leaper running up to leap. The moment's all a sparkle with interlocking calls of gladness for this gentle new beginning.
Mm. Thanks, Jackie. Mm.
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 You're muted.
Peter, you're on mute.
I have a haiku.
Hold on.
Are we busy?
No, yeah. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, I'll repeat. Good morning. Good to see you all. Some of you I haven't seen for a very long time.
This week, I had the privilege of having dinner with Angie at her home. And then we went for a walk around the block, slow walk around the block. So I thought I'd read one of her poems. And since I spent much of July with Marie in Colorado, Angie has a poem here in Notes from Here titled July in Boulder. Thunderheads every afternoon, but no thunder. The heat presses up from the garden, no rain. The old pines totter, the pond's bullfrogs hidden under lilies, dig into mud. Drought, waiting, endurance. We put on hats, pull weeds from the path. When rain comes thundering down the mountain's granite shoulders, it breaks in a rush on the red roof, pours over, and the garden, flooding, streams into the pond and is quickly over, as if it hadn't been, except for pines, blue spruce, and willows dripping. And oh, here comes the moon. Thank you, Angie.
I just read that yesterday. It's all good, just like maybe we shouldn't talk about us being psychics, but we're not. It's the way it works.
So let me defer now to our friend in the Zendo with the haiku. Thank you for letting me go ahead.
But all right, Peter. I'm Chuck, just so you know. I loathe the twin seas of being and not being, and long for the mountain of bliss, untouched by the changing tides. Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Matthew.
Hello.
I have a poem here. It's a song that me and my father share. But I won't sing the song. I'll sing it. Just a poem.
You can sing it.
Oh no, I can't. It's a poem written by Jose Marti, who's originally from Cuba. He died during the abortive uprising of Cuba, and it became a popular song after he died, written in many variations. The poem is called Guantanamera. I'm sure many people know it. And I'm gonna speak it in the translated English version and not the Spanish. Guantanamera. I am a truthful man in the land of the palm trees. Before dying, I want to share these poems of my soul. My poems are soft green, but they are also flaming crimson. My verses are like a wounded fawn seeking refuge in the mountain forest. And for the cruel one who world tear out this heart with which I live, I cultivate neither thistles nor nettles. I cultivate a white rose. With the poor people of this earth, I want to share my fate. The streams of the mountain pleases me more than the sea. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Thank you.
I can see why you don't want to read it, but I can remember it. And it's going around. I don't know how to say it in Spanish, though.
Ollie, you said you found a lost poem right then a few minutes ago. You still
did I?
You did. Yeah. Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's over here, but I'll just take 1 minute because we don't have much time. I lost it again.
Oh.
I have this whole book. I guess I've gotten long, but I was really looking for that one poem about my mother because the other one was so lovely. Someone left.
It's okay.
Unfortunately for you and Barbara, I have come up with other poems.
You can just pretend any one of them that you pick up is the one.
It's the most beautiful poem in the world, yes.
Anyone you want, anyone. Just you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That's it.
Okay, I'll write this one, read this one about heaven. Mm. Another one of those arguments about heaven is what I thought. An old women's tremolo, a market on Park Boulevard. How can you be so sure you're going to heaven? The tall man laughed. I know, because I balanced my life. She thought that was funny, and I guess I thought it was pretty deep. She asked, so am I going to heaven? He said, yes. Balance isn't just holding your breath, afraid to move, a teacher says. It's pulling away in both directions at the same time. When you're dying, you pull away like a weed, shake free of earth, shake free of light. Otherwise, you die a lingering death. And I believe that, though heaven only catches up to me seconds at a time. I feel like I just read that. I did.
Nice.
Oh. I know one that I have, I see it's in the book, the poem Jikoji. It's in the first part, but all I have is the title. That's the one I really wanted to read.
It's called Jikoji, Paula?
Mm-hmm.
If I can find it.
Yeah, it was at about a sashin I went to at Jikoji, but I arrived out late because my nephew had just been born. I didn't know what was going on.
Can you find that, Barbara? Shall I look for it too?
Well, I see notes from Jikoji as a whole section, but I don't see a poem called Jikoji.
Well, if the sections are there, they should be there.
Huh. But there isn't
what is the poem called, Barbara? Paula. Or what is a line from it? Or give us a clue.
I can't remember. Well, it's not like my memory is getting better.
While Rosie and Barbara and Paula are looking for that poem from Jikoji, I happen to have one that I wrote after sitting a practice period at Jikoji back in 1991. And this was January, February, March practice period. So we start sitting outside quite early and it was still dark, and we sit on the deck of the Zendo facing out. So I called it deck sitting. Facing out. Darkness slowly changing to dawn. Beyond the fence railing, grass, wood, and leaves emerge from the blur. A cool, awakening breeze brushes my face, plays its ever-changing melody on the chimes, and rustles the trees, sending rain pattering to the tarps below. A myriad of bird sounds greet the day, and jays and cats call for breakfast. Nice. Reaching up.
If you would like to read there, you've been sitting there. Looking forward to hearing you, what you said.
Yeah, me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's such a sort of sparking, interesting forum. Every time I come to this with you, Paula, and now you have, I guess, some very famous poets. Well, one was said about, I can't trust memory. I think that was our beautiful Alka Roy, one of part of stanza. So I was just wondering if there's something, I don't know anything really other than what sparks my imagination is, and what we do here is to live in the moment. Is there some game, or is there some way that you can practice poetry right here, right now, as maybe even my words are doing now? And just curious about that. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe, I mean, how much did I actually remember? Going back to, I can't trust. If I could remember one line, and maybe everybody else could remember one line, and what would that would sound like if it was together? I don't know.
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be interesting.
I'm a visual artist. I introduced this last time, and I noticed where I sat. I'm over here to the side. Most people, except Jackie, has got this black, big old black rectangle on the side. If this thing here, see that this thing right here.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, this is to me. This is what I was trained in. This is visual poetry here. This rectangle, and most of the time, we're sitting, I'm supposed to be sitting here, right? This is where I'm supposed to be. So what happens, you know, when I'm much smaller than you too. That's not fair. But anyway,
I'm just sitting here with a flower crown over my head.
See? Right, and then you took a moment, and that was what I saw. Well, I just thought maybe there would be something. Last time I read I have lists. That was sort of interesting, but, you know, to be more extemporaneous, to bring this, which is sort of what we practice here, I thought, you know, in some way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're not going to read a list?
No, I'm happy to read my list. I'm more interested in trying to recall what other people recall the poems, because they're quite lengthy, and I can't trust memory, which is why I have my lists. Or maybe not.
Well, do you have the poems themselves on your list?
So you said, do I have poems?
The poems themselves on your list, because I have a list of my poems, but like they're in this book, and they, I know when I can read. As long as we're on heaven.
I guess what I'm trying to point to is, I mean, what, as I said, kind of in the beginning when you started this, I don't really know what poetry is in words. Some of it is in sound, and someone suggested singing. So, I mean, I think a lot of songs have poetry in them. And so it's just an incredible forum that could be really expansive. And I'm just curious. Forever.
Well, you know, I don't have Bob Dylan with me right now, but he was my favorite poet when I was like 14 years old, and I had a little Bob Dylan hat, and I got myself a Gibson guitar and the whole thing, and I got to see him in person when I was when I went to the Hollywood Bowl to see Joan Baez. I got to see him in person. But he's a wonderful poet, songwriter. A lot of people's poems are songs, I think. Yeah. That's a really good thing.
I was just going to say, you know this, of course, Paula, and lots of you do, but lyric poetry, the word lyric comes from the instrument, the lyre, L-Y-R-E. And poetry started before there was written, language. It was the way that people memorized what happened to them and their ancestors. It was an oral tradition. It was song. So it was with rhythms and rhymes, so that it was easy to remember. Memory is the mother of the nine muses. Including the moves for poetry.
Right.
So, music.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's think of that for next time then. Mm-hmm. Bring in music. These are great poems you all read. I'm really, really happy that you showed up, and I'm glad you live near Jikoji, so you can show up in person. And those of us, and Jackie, I met you in person when I was up there about a year ago, didn't I? Well, we just said hello to each other. Yeah. I remember that.
Looks like lots of you there in the room in person. That's marvelous.
Yeah. Be there, Rosie.
One day, maybe again.
Yeah, maybe there. Joe will come.
And you're there, Paula.
I'm there. I'm not in San. I'm not in the Zindo. I wish I were.
Not yet.
Does anyone else have a poem here in the Zindo? Come on up. Jerome has a poem.
Okay. Joelle. I don't see Joelle. There she is. Oh, Jerome. Okay. Jerome. Hey, Jerome. I was looking for you.
Mm-hmm. This is a poem of Real Care. Called The Bowl of Roses. You saw it flare up in anger, saw two boys balled up together into a single thing named hatred, struggling in the dirt like an animal crazed and beset by bees. These two actors of towering excess, like frenzied horses, collapsing in the traces, their glances flung away, their teeth bared as if lips were peeled back from skulls. But now, you know how you have forgotten. For before you lies the brimming bowl of roses, so unforgettable and so replenished with that extreme of being, of tending, of presence, of offering and holding back. That might be ours, our extreme as well. Soundless existence. Endlessly opening, using space without taking up any room, since it lessens the things surrounding it, almost without outline, as if recessed to sheer inwardness, a strange tenderness and self-illumination to its outer rim. Is there anything as familiar as this to us? And then, like this, that a feeling emerges because of flower petals, touch flower petals. And this, that one opens up like a lid, and there, beneath it, lie only eyelids closed, as if they were asleep 10 times over, as if they had to absorb some inner vision. And above all this, that through these petals and the light must penetrate, Out of the thousand heavens, they slowly refine that seep of darkness from which the glowing flame of the tangled stamens arouses itself and rears up. And the movements in the roses look gestures of such a minute deflection that they might remain hidden did their beams not radiate into the universe.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.